Welcome to Third Heaven Authority Podcast. I'm Mike Thompson. Today's episode comes from my Prophet's Teaching Series. Join me in diving deeper into the Word and the Spirit. Well, hello there, saints of God. New creations in Christ Jesus. Welcome back to the Prophet's Teaching Series. Beginning last week, I started talking to you about what the new creation is. And I wanted to continue along those lines this week and share some very important things from the original creation and now the new creation, so we can look at some principles that are applied, because the enemy doesn't like what God creates. He didn't like the original creation of the earth, the universe, mankind. He tried to distort it, to defile it. And then, with the new creation of God, he also wants to keep you from understanding who you are and accomplishing what God has called you to do. So let's look at these similarities. In fact, in doing so, I'm going to talk to you quite a bit about the spirit of religion. So beginning in Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we're talking about original creation, okay? I'm not going to read all of the verses, but maybe a couple here to point out. It says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So what I'm telling you right now in this comparison, that in the original creation and also in the new creation that we become in Christ Jesus, that it was the creative power of God that did it, that the Holy Spirit was there, and he performed the work of regeneration for us. Now in verse 3, it says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. The point I wanted to extract from that verse is that when God created something, he called it good. All the way through this entire chapter, he called it good. What does good mean? It means that's what he wanted. It was done the way that he wanted. It was perfect. He was satisfied. Okay? It was good. There's none good but God. So it was his goodness. Now, as we skip down to verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image. Now, he's already done all of the plant life, the fish, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field. Okay? Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So in original creation, there was dominion that was given to them in that original creation over everything in the natural realm. Okay, let's keep reading. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Now here's our focus. Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now that's original creation. When he finished it, and especially after creating mankind, he said it is very good, exactly the way that he wanted it. Okay? Nothing left out, no defects. It was perfect in God's eyes for the time and the situation. Now, Satan comes along. chapter 3, verse 1. No, actually, let's go to chapter 2. I want to read in verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. So that was the only commandment. He said, you have authority, you have dominion over this whole thing. You, upon this creation, this physical universe, are like I am, have dominion. You are like the God in this realm. And so mankind was created in God's class, a created order, a created race, I should say. Then we go to chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning. So here he comes. Here comes Satan. Remember, I'm leading up to the new creation, and I'm drawing parallels between how Satan deceived Adam and Eve and how he deceives us in the new creation. Okay? Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Well, he knew that God told them that. He knew that. He was not off somewhere and unknowing and trying to get information for himself. The question was designed to plant a seed of doubt in their heart about their creation. It was to trip them up. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the tree, or the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. In other words, he said, in dying you will die, in spiritual death that comes upon you, physical death then will follow. Verse 4. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. In other words, his deception at this point was that you're not going to keel over and die. He didn't tell him, well, no, I'm not going to have put spiritual death, or spiritual death is not going to be in you, and eventually you will die. Adam and Eve didn't understand these things. But he said, you will not surely die. That was a lie. Number 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now here it is. Here's the second point. Is that when God created you and called you good, meaning it's the way he wanted it, nothing had to be added, it was perfect, that somehow it left something out. This is what Satan was saying to Eve, is that there's more than the way God created you to be. Okay, so here's the deception. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her. And then their eyes were open. God didn't want them to know evil. He wanted them to know good. And that's all true. But if you catch what I'm saying here, is that Satan came along and he distorted what God said, and in the New Testament, he distorts what God says through the Word. And that distortion was that, you know, it was what I call the spirit of religion, is that you can become more than what God created you to be and call good. You can become better than what God intended for you to be. And all you have to do is take it into your hands and do something by your works, and then you will become better. And so the temptation to become better was to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, they fell for the trap, both Adam and Eve. Now let's jump up to the new creation, okay? 2 Corinthians, same scripture that I used last week, verse 17, says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you're born again, he is a new creation. A new creation. God did something entirely new. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So the old things now are gone. Old things and the way that God produces salvation and everything that happened from old creation all the way up to now, but everything that was in your life personally before receiving Jesus, those old things are gone. And now a fresh quality of creation has come to you. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, notice what Paul also tells the Ephesians about this. In chapter 2, verse 10, he says, for we are his, referring to God, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, we are his workmanship, created. We're a new creation for good. God calls it good. It's a good new creation, and good works flow out of that good new creation. Now, what does good mean? It's the way he wanted it. It's perfect. He's satisfied. He's pleased. It's the way that God intended for man to be now in this saving grace. Okay? So what does Satan do? Satan comes along with the spirit of religion in the same way that he did with Adam and Eve, and he tries to get believers to accept a false notion, a lie, that the work that God has done by his grace and by our faith on the inside of us isn't enough. That actually there's more. We can become more. We can become better than what we think that we are. By what? Taking it into our own hands. By doing something in the natural realm. And when we do that, we get into works, legalism, religiosity, works of the flesh. See, the Bible says that there are works of faith. And works of faith follow faith. When we accept Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and say, thank you, Lord, that we are new creations and that we are qualified to be loved by you, to be in relationship with you, and that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus now, and heaven is our home, and you love us. We are qualified because of the new creation. We are good in you. Satan comes along and says, now wait a minute. You need to do something else. You can't believe that. You can't trust that. What do you mean by grace? Don't you have to do something? Just like he said to Eve, and then Adam followed her. Don't you have to partake of that tree? Of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He tells us, you have to walk a perfect life. He injects fear. He injects condemnation about everything we do and every mistake. The mistakes that we do in the flesh have no bearing on the new creation within. But yet the enemy's there to condemn and to judge. He heaps shame upon us. He tries to tell us that if we're new believers in the Lord Jesus and we haven't grown much, then in order to please God and to be loved by God, to put ourselves into that lovable place, that blessable place, that condition where truly now we are receiving what God has for us, that we have to do all this stuff in the natural realm. You better not miss a Sunday in church. You better not let any kind of a foul word come out of your mouth. The weight of one cigarette will keep you out of heaven. You know, the list goes on and on and on. You got angry. You got angry and said a bad word. Somebody cut you off in traffic and just out of habit from your old life, you know, you gave them the one-fingered salute. The list goes on. You got to do all these things to qualify yourself to be acceptable, not only to God, but to other people, and be blessable. Now, listen very closely. I am not saying you can do anything you want to do after you're saved and it doesn't matter. It does matter in this, that if we have become the righteousness of God, then like Paul said, yield your members to righteousness. Get into the Word of God, and it should change you. The new creation should come and renew our mind and flow through our bodies so that we become more and more like Jesus all the time. But why? It's because of the faith in God's grace that has already done the work in our heart. It is not works of the flesh. They're different. Works of the flesh are things we do in the natural realm through this deception and this spirit of religion and this religiosity and this legalistic conduct and belief structure, that by doing these things, we make ourselves better. See, it's from the outside in. The new creation is from the inside out. And so when we walk in the new creation realities, then we overcome and we reject and we push aside all those legalistic works. I am not going to go to church in order to make myself a better Christian. That's religiosity. Because I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, then I realize that I'm not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, so I'm going to go and fellowship with other people. It's the motivation within. New creation realities, it's by grace and our faith in that grace that has brought us to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what that means, and I don't have time to just explain everything, but at least in just a sentence or two, it means putting faith in the new creation is a walk from the inside out. Let it be the motivation through the revelation of God's word. Praise God. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every single person now, these new creation realities. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that all of the religiosity and false doctrine and works and that foul driving spirit of the flesh, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that off of the people. Lord God, quicken their minds, their hearts to understanding and the revelation of who you have created them to be. And that and only that will bring this to the point of doing what you have asked us to do. Bless your people in your precious name. Amen. Praise God.
I pray that today's message enlightened your heart and strengthened your faith. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And for more teachings and resources, or to become a ministry partner, visit MikeThompsonMinistries.com. God bless.